Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
After Sunday service, Tim came to me and I could see fire in his eyes. And when I mean that in the best possible way, I mean he was fired up for the Lord. And he said, I've got something that I want to share with you, and I really feel like it's a word that I want to share with the church. And I could tell right away that God was in it, God was on it. And let me preface all this by saying, just because you come to me saying that God gave you a word don't mean you're going to get to preach, okay? It's got to be God, right? It's got to be God. And it was. And I appreciate Tim, his sincerity and his heart. And I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to share. He's been he and Mary both, y'all have been pillars in this church since you guys started coming. You're faithful people that I look to, that I depend on. Pinned on and that I'm grateful for. And I'll tell you one thing, you can never discount the importance of praying people. And Tim and Mary are praying people, and that means the world to me. And I've learned as I've grown up that there are just certain things that, like I said, you can't trade them for anything. And these people, they have been constant supporters. They're people of faith. They believe God's word, and it just means so much that they would even call this their church home. Do y'all realize they drive all the way here from down around Gadsden and Hoke's Bluff every single Sunday, pretty much every single Wednesday? That's dedication, y'all. And so I'm thankful for y'all. So would you do me a favor? Would you stand to your feet and welcome Brother Tim Walden as he brings the word tonight? Put your hands together for this mighty man of God as he comes to bring the word. We're thankful for you, Brother Tim.
Thank you, Pastor. I was going, don't do this. Don't do this. Got to learn how to hold this thing up here. For a couple of years, this thing has been burning on the inside. And we usually go out Sunday afternoon, after church, and Jim and Beth and James and Brenda, and they've heard some of this. And Pastor Spencer got up, and he's been talking, he's mentioned Reformation and revival two or three times. It's been a couple of weeks. Yeah. And he talked about something else, and I thought, this is it. I gotta ask him. I gotta say something. So I appreciate the honor. I'm honored by you allowing me behind here, and I'm appreciative. And I was in the Gideons for about 5 or 6 years, and I seldom ever was nervous, but man, I'm nervous tonight. It's like, but be anxious for nothing. And I'm learning that. If you don't know it, you need to learn it. You know, be anxious for nothing. You know, it's not me speaking, it's the Holy Spirit speaking through me. And I hope that's the way it comes across tonight. And they always told us when we give our presentation, when we go to different churches and speak and try to raise funds for the buying Bibles, they'd say, always start out with a humorous story or a joke or something like that. So here it goes. Today, I filled up for $1.39. Can you believe that? $1.39. Unfortunately, it was Taco Bell. So I filled up for $1.39 at Taco Bell. But I was listening to a sermon about a week or so ago, and the speaker mentioned dispenser, and I thought, I thought about it, and it was about time to go to bed, so I turned everything off and went to bed, and I laid there for a few minutes, and dispenser just kept coming to my mind, dispenser, and I thought, Pastor Spencer, your mother said that you were going to be a dispenser, right? If that's the story, that's the story I heard. So I was laying in bed, and I thought, I got to write this down because it's from God. So I get my phone out, turn my little light on. I got my pen out, and I'm writing this on this little thing here for he and Pastor Madison. And she's not here, but I got it written down, and I'm just going to give them to this, give them to this here. Let me put my eyeballs on. To Pastors Madison and Spencer, your mom prophesied you with your name to be a dispenser. You will become more of a dispenser of favor and grace. They are the same, in a greater measure than ever before. Your congregants and my people will benefit to the point they too will become dispensers of favor and grace. You have created dispensers in your family and community. He's got Judah, praise, Bethel, house of God. Boaz means strength and swiftness. Zoe means life of God. And Bishop is overseer for God. And then I wrote some more for Pastor Madison. I was thinking about Madison. I didn't know anything about her name, but it's where Mary and I used to live, just on the other side of Huntsville. We lived in Madison when it was just a little small community. Now you can't even hardly tell when you leave Huntsville, the Madison is so big. He says, we lived in Madison. Mary was raised in Madison 90% of her life. And we were married. We met and we got married and we went to church there until 1985. It was a great community in 1985. It's still probably pretty good, but there's a whole lot more people there now than there was. But you and Pastor Spencer have become a community of dispensers. Each and every one of you now are dispensers of what we hear on Sunday mornings, Wednesday night, of the grace and the favor of God and the mercy of God. The problem tonight is what you hear, you got to do something with. And hopefully this will challenge you in your walk with God and your faith. That's all I needed. Okay. So you're going to be responsible for what you hear tonight in a greater way. I was thinking about what I was going to say and talk about. And things here. And lost my train of thought. I pray every night for our church, and I pray for Pastor Madison and Spencer because they need wisdom and direction and divine counsel from God and the Holy Spirit to come here every Sunday and Wednesday. And even through the week, you know, stuff happens. You know, stuff happens, and maybe it's his day off, and he may have to minister to somebody that's hurting or sick or been in an accident or something like that. So I've been praying for our church, and I thought, God, you can cause, we're just maybe 3/4 of a mile off the interstate. We got our big sign out there. We got our little sign over here, the well. I was going, God, let people, when they pass by that need salvation or need any other kind of work of God in their life, let them look up and see that sign and say, wow, I sure could use a nice cold drink from the well. Amen. And I've been praying that for a couple of years. Well, about a week ago, there was a couple that came in, And I asked him, if you live here in the, and I got to be careful not to say Gadsden or Hoax Bluff, but here in Fort Payne. And they said, yeah, we do. We live here. I said, how did you hear about us? They said, I saw your sign. So I was thinking, I just said, wow, prayer works. Prayer works. God answered that prayer, and people are going to start noticing that sign, and they're going to say, I need to go in there. I need a fresh drink. I need salvation. I see it like in Field of Dreams at the end of the movie, where the guy, where the camera pulls back from the ball field, and you see for miles cars coming into the field. And he asks in the movie, he says, what are you doing here? He says, I don't know. I was just drawn. And we know that drawing is the Holy Spirit. They're just going to be drawn in and find salvation, to find healing, to find deliverance. Whatever they need, we've got the well inside of us, the Holy Spirit, that can fulfill whatever they need in their life. And I was thinking, there's three things that we need to be as a church. First and foremost, we need to be a house of salvation. And I see the thing that comes up every once in a while. It says, salvation, a place of salvation. We need to be a place where we can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. As they bring them in, we can speak the word that would cause the Holy Spirit to spark in their life. And when whatever they need, whether it be salvation or whatever, we can minister to them one-on-one. How many have been saved before or are saved? Okay, what I'm going to talk about is taking practical action from what you have received from God. We've all received salvation. We can minister salvation. We say, Tim, I can't do that. I was going, how did you get saved? Just follow that example. Just tell them, this is how I got saved. This is where I was at in my life experience. I'm going to be salvation word to those people. And we're going to lead them to Christ, maybe at the front door, over here, maybe back in the back. Who knows? You know, it might be like the meal tonight. Maybe somebody will be back there that never has been here before. October 30th, when the treats are given out. Perfect place. You're in the church. You're at the church parking lot. Use that opportunity to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to speak a salvation word to those people. Secondly, we want to be, and we're going to be a place of healing. Miracles, signs, wonders are going to be worked through the hands of born-again, spirit-filled, and willing and obedient people who will be willing and obedient when the Holy Spirit drops a word into your mind, into your spirit. Go over there and talk to that person. He'll give you the words to speak and what to say and how to lead them into a healing experience. I'm going to talk more about that, but we're going to be a place of healing. Pastor Spencer's talked about revival and reformation. I believe that revival is going to come when we're willing and obedient to the Holy Spirit. People are going to see people raised off deathbeds. They're going to be healed from wheelchairs and crutches and whatever it is. Azusa Street, they had their upper room where they did a lot of their praying, also housed old medical equipment, wheelchairs, crutches, braces, whatever it was. People would get healed on the lower floor, and they would hang them up on the inside. And I see, even back then in 1906, they were talking about last day revival. Unfortunately, 118 years later, this, I believe, is going to be I'm not going to say believe. But let me say, before I say that, Pastor Spencer mentioned a few weeks ago about if you have something from God and you've got an experience that you want to go that you want to give that people need to know about, don't say, I believe, I think, I hope. Say, I know. I know this message. I know this message is from God. And I know that what he did at Azusa Street in 1906 can happen again today in 2024. And what will happen here in these walls and on your job and in your schools and in your place of business and wherever you may work, it can be a place of where revival is sparked. The healings and the miracles that are going to take place, are going to be a precursor for bringing people into salvation. Because when they see their loved one who was on a deathbed, who was in a wheelchair, was bound by chains and sickness and disease, when they're healed from that, people are going to see and they're going to notice. They're going to go, that can't be explained away. You know, they weren't really sick or they were just faking. No, I know. And they're going to say, I want what you got, Jeff. I want what you got, Jim. Oh, and you and you and you and you and each and every one of you, we're going to be able to share with them and lead them to Christ through the miracles and signs and wonders that are going to take place in this house and wherever you may be. It could happen in Walmart. I was in Walmart one time, and I met a guy I used to go to church with, and I heard that he had gotten a report about having cancer. And I was walking along, you know, I go to Walmart, I go exactly where I want, and I get out. You know, I don't mill around and think, oh, what else do I need? But so I was walking, and I was heading for some dog food or cat food or something or another, and I looked up, and there he was. I said, Henry, what are you doing here? And he was sitting there. They had a little bench. And he was sitting there, and he was resting while his wife and daughter was shopping. And so I sat down beside him, and I just prayed for him right there. You know, I just put my hand on him and grabbed his hand, and I just prayed for him. So wherever you might be, don't be afraid for anxiety and fear are the number one killers of faith. If we let those things affect our faith, then we're like the world. And Jesus says, come out, be separate from the world. Come out and be separated from the world. He says, and I'm not going to, that's for the end. But you get my point. And thirdly, mental disorders. God's going to heal people mentally of all different things, and I prayed these things. Every night for a couple of years, and I'd go down my list, my mental checklist, physically, and I've just mentioned them to God, and if I leave some out, you just fill in the blank. There's going to be vision problems, hearing problems, olfactory problems, which is the nose area and the airways, gum and teeth problems, esophageal problems, acid reflux, ulcers, stomach problems, abdomen, reproductive, ED, arthritis, bursitis, tendonitis, ACL, MCL, knee issues, bunions, hammer toes, Achilles tendon tears or ruptures, gallbladder, Pastor Spencer, liver issues, kidney problems, pancreas issues, appendix, back problems. I worked on my truck yesterday, and I was bending over, and I was working on my other little car, and bending over, and this morning I was like, oh, man. So I was thinking, back problems, amen. Well, right now, it feels pretty good. You know, by his stripes, I am healed, past tense. Amen. So he made me practice what I was going to preach today. Crushed disc, bulging disc, scoliosis, rotator cuff, tennis elbow, carpal tunnel, broken bones, crushed bones, bone dissolving disease, sleep apnea, lung disease, heart disease, asthma, AFib, BFib, heart valve problems, vein and vessel problems with blockages, high cholesterol blockages, emphysema, COPD, skin cancers, all cancers, period, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, diabetes, low blood sugar, gastrointestinal issues, and mysterious hearing problems, which is me. I've been to one ENT, and he looked, and I couldn't hear. And he checked me. He says, well, there's nothing there. And he put two tubes in, and it worked for a little while, and then it quit working. And I said, I could be driving along in my car, and it would pop open. And I could hear perfect. I was going, wow. But it only lasts about a minute or two. And he looked at me. He says, that ain't supposed to happen. I was thinking to myself, what'd you do? Did you miss that day in school? You know, Jim told me he had kind of the same problem, you know. So he says, that's all I can do for you. He says, I'm going to send you to a specialist in Birmingham. So we go down there. He puts me on drugs to help clear my head up if I got in a sinus infection or something. And I come back 6 weeks later, and he checks me out. And I tell him, I said, one thing, he said, I can be driving down the road and my ear would pop open and I could hear. And Mary was there. He said, the exact same thing. That ain't supposed to happen. I was going, they must tell them to say that, I guess. I don't know, in school. But about probably 3 or 4 months or 6 months ago, I was sitting right there where Jim's sitting. And it was Sunday morning. Pastor Spencer was leading worship. They sang a song. And they started the second song, and it went pow, like a firecracker went off. And I went, wow. And I had to pull my hearing aid out because it was so loud. And I was holding it in my hand, and I was going, man, alive, I can hear. And I thought, a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, half hour. And I said, Mary, I said, is the music loud today? She says, just a little bit. I said, I can hear. And it lasted the rest of the service. It was about 10 after 10. And it lasted, I think we were over at y'all's house. Yeah. And we went to Gary and Janet. And we started home. And about 7 o'clock, it started fading away, slowly fading away. So I know my hearing is there. What's causing it not is the devil. He's trying to do everything he can to keep me from hearing correctly and to hearing the word of God. And it lasted for 9 hours, me being able to hear, and then it closed back up. About a month ago, I was sitting on the third row, and I don't know what song it was, and they were singing, and all of a sudden, pow, I went, wow. And I could hear perfect. Hear perfect. And I said, it's God. And it lasted about 2 hours that time. But from the first time it happened, I said, I am not putting that hearing aid back in that ear. That ear is healed. When you can't see and you can't feel it, doesn't mean that it hasn't happened. Our faith must kick in, and we know it's not. I'm not having faith in them singing the right song or hitting the right tune or whatever. My faith is in a higher power. He created this body, and he can fix it. So that's the mysterious ear hearing thing that I'm talking about there, because I'm sure I'm not alone. You know, there's probably other people out there that's had the same issues. Anemia and lymphoma. And I would pray for all these things at night, and I was going, God, let these things be the start of revival. Let them lead to revival. Let them be things that people can't dismiss. I seen it with my eyes. I seen it with my own eyes. This person healed. And that's going to be the precursor to leading them to Christ and building up the kingdom of God. Now, does everybody remember the kingdom of God? Somebody we know and love preached on it for about 3 weeks, I think it was, or maybe 4 weeks. Remember? This not too long ago. He preached several Sundays on the kingdom of God. How many is the king in the kingdom of God? If you're born again, you're in the kingdom of God. You didn't have to sign up. You didn't have to pay dues. You didn't have to do anything. You just had to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and walk in the truth that we've all, most of us probably have been in church long enough where we've heard message after message after message after message, and we just get filled up until, you know, we're up to the top, you know. You know, if we was in water, we probably would float with all the stuff. We would just kind of bob in the water, you know, and that's kind of like how we are sometimes. We got so much of the Word of God, and is if we fell in the water, we just kind of bob along. Kind of like an iceberg. And I see this night as an iceberg moment. When you go to Alaska or Iceland or Finland or wherever, and you see the icebergs and the things probably sticking up out of the water, it's probably as big as half of this building sticking up out of the water. But are you seeing the whole thing? No. What's underneath it is massive. I seen a picture one time that they measured it, and it was as tall as the Empire State Building underwater, that deep. And I'm thinking, when the Holy Spirit gets inside of us, people may only see the tip of the iceberg, but they know that they can go to Jeff, say, Jeff, will you pray for me? I've got this backache going on, or I've got this headache going on. I've got this hearing problem. And Jeff said, sure, we'll agree together, and it'll be done. And Jeff, pray for me. Boom, and it'll pop open. There won't be no doubt. I'm going, you know, the deaf and dumb guy says, all I know is once I was blind, now I can see. One of these days, you're going to hear me back up here. I'm going to say, I once was partially deaf or legally deaf, which I am and which I was, according to the ENT and the doctor in Gadsden. I'm legally deaf in this ear, but I can hear perfect by the stripes of Jesus Christ. I'm going to walk in that. I'm going to walk in the promises that God has made, because God is not a man that he should lie. Why? So I always look at it. I thought, well, there must be something in, that I need to come to the knowledge of or the revelation of. And that's, he's doing the work. So when Jeff prays for me, he's just going, I hope this works. I hope this works. No. Because Jeff's saying, no, I'm not doing it. It's God. You know, that's a pretty good revelation. You know, it's not me doing it. I'm just the vessel that the Holy Spirit uses to touch that person and to join their faith and my faith together, you know, together. ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, Alzheimer's, dementia, chemical imbalances in the brain, bipolar, epilepsy, multiple personalities, PTSD, depression, mental breakdowns, emotional breakdowns, paranoia, psychosis, fears, phobias. And I looked up this, and this one reference, there's 103 phobias, you know, like anacrophobia. You know what that is? Fear of spiders. And there's another one, the fear of the number 13. I was going, oh my God. Fear is something we allow into our life to set up camp and to set up tent. Did you know that? When we were born, I heard a guy say, there's only two fears that you have when you were born. The fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. All the rest of them are learned. And you know who wrote the book on phobias and fears and anxiety? Satan. For he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, but, and that means he's not finished talking. In this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Christ in me, the hope of glory, we've overcome and I will overcome the world. Addictions, ADD, ADHD, substance abuse, brokenheartedness, grief, low self-esteem, anxiety, panic attacks, possession, being possessed, oppressed, depressed, are the mental things that God's going to heal in our midst if we'll just be willing and obedient vessels and allow the Holy Spirit to move through these lips and give a caring touch with these hands. But it's all dependent on us. We can take this tonight, what we're hearing, and do with it what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, or we can put it into action. And I pray, and I know that it's going to happen. Is it going to happen Sunday? It's up to God. It's up to Him. But I have to be willing and obedient. Each one of you have to be willing and obedient. I'm going to do it. I'm going to step out. I'm a shy person. I don't, you know, doing this right now, 40 years ago or 50 years ago, I would have never done this. I would have never done this. And you would have not known, if you knew me back then and you just happened to wander in here today, you're going, that ain't the Tim Walden I know. if somebody talked to me that I didn't know, I'd just start blushing. You know, kind of, man. But somewhere along the way, God gave me and the Holy Spirit gave me the gift of gab. And to be able not just to run off at the mouth just to be talking, but to use it constructively for the kingdom of God. This message is going to be Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 16, which is Jesus. It's only a part of the Sermon on the Mount. But I feel like this is for now. This is the now word. There are 115 verses on the Sermon on the Mount. It goes from Matthew 5, 3 to Matthew 7, 27. Almost three full chapters. And they're all, if you got one of the Bibles that have red letters, it's all red. It's all red. So those are directly from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our biblical hope, and I heard a definition of hope was, think about what hope means to you or what you think hope means. Wishful thinking. You know what the biblical meaning of hope is? Joyful anticipation of a God deed. God working. When Jeff lays his hands on me, he's having joyful expectation that God is going to do a work in me. And when we lay our hands on people and we pray for them, we should have joyful anticipation of what God is going to do in their life. He's going to set them free just like he did for us. Amen. We were once bound, but now we were once blind, but now we see. Our biblical hope should infect our problems. Instead of our problems infecting us, our biblical hope, our joyful anticipation of what God's going to do should come right against our problems, whatever that problem might be. Spiritually, physically, financially, you know, whatever it is. Discipline to remember activates a pre-existing gift to hear and to see. And in Mark 8:18, he says, having eyes, Jesus said, having eyes, he asked his disciples, he says, having eyes, see you not? Everybody here have eyes? Everybody have ears? Next one's here. He says, hearing, hear not? Partially. Do you remember? And everybody has memories. Will you remember tonight? Will you remember the sermons that Pastor Spencer has spoken in the last few weeks and put them into action in your life? Do you remember? To remember is a spiritual discipline. The other two are spirit gifts. To see, to hear from God are gifts. But to remember is a discipline. We have to, and in my job that I worked for 44 years, memory was a good thing. You know, people, they say, Tim, what's that part number? And I'd give it to them. They say, how do you know that? I was going, I've been doing it for 44 years. I couldn't help it. You know, I thought, well, I might as well remember it. That way it'll keep me from looking up. You know, it saved me a step, you know. So, do you remember? Will you remember? It is time for us as a church with 4 years in the making, making us salty by putting into action what we've all been taught. If you, some of us have been here pretty much, we didn't come in at the very month that we started here, but we were just a few months into it, almost 4 years, or has been 4 years, really. As a born-again, spirit-filled, willing and obedient sons and daughters of God, of the kingdom of God, to put those teachings into action. This message is about putting those things into action. Who knows that we were born for such a time as this? That's what Esther was told. The apostles and Paul were needed at the starting point, and we are needed to help finish the deal, God's plan. You know, he didn't say Paul for the end. He's using us to seal the deal. Mark Batterson, in his book In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day, says, "People who live in prayer mode are watchmen. They see further. They see things others before others do. They see things others don't. Those who live in prayer mode sees opportunities that others don't even notice. People who don't live in prayer mode are opportunity blind." Opportunity blind. We need to refine our focus. Now, when I'm looking at this, these reading glasses help refine what's written in those little bitty letters on that piece of paper. Now, can God heal my eyes? Most definitely. I had surgery on this eye back in last October. I had a macular hole in the back of my eyeball. And it was letting too much light in. So when I would look at like that beam right there, it's straight. But I would see a curve. I told Mary, I said, I guess I need to go to the doctor. I think I need glasses. You know, I just thought, hey, I need glasses. So we go and make an appointment, go in there, and he looks at my eyes, and he says, why are you here, basically? I said, well, when I look at straight lines, I don't see straight lines. I see curves. The light was refracting. The hole was allowing too much light to refract to my optic nerve. And so I would see things, and they were crooked. So I just started praying. He says, well, you're going to have to have surgery. You also have cataracts, but that's nothing compared to the little surgery. So I said, okay. So we go in there, and I'm laying on the table, and the first guy comes in, and he does the cataract, you know, and I'm sitting there, and they got my eye pinned wide open, and then all of a sudden, lights out. I didn't know they were going to put me to sleep. But he had a big old long needle, you know, and they injected nitrous oxide into my eyeball. Now, nitrous oxide, I knew what nitrous oxide was. It's something that makes hot rods go faster. I'm going, wow, I'm going to have a hot rod eyeball. So he injected that nitrous oxide into my eye. And the next thing you know, hey, I woke up. I was going, hey. I said, when's he going to start? He's going, he's finished. You know, he's finished. I was going, wow, what happened? So they wheel me out, and I'm sitting over there. A couple days, they take the thing off. But I can see that nitrous oxide in my eye. I could look at you, and you was like, you know, kind of watery looking. I was going, wow, that's weird. That's weird. But as time progressed, it would get lower and lower. What was really bad was when it was halfway, because it was like, I was trying to see above that line of squishy water, and I was going, yeah, yeah. So if somewhere in the last year I've looked at you and kind of, that's what was going on. So, and then one day I woke up and it was just barely across the bottom. Oh, what? I told Mary, I says, it's just barely there now. And by lunchtime, it was gone. I was going, and I was working outside, and I go, hey, it's gone. As 6 weeks went along, I go back to the surgeon, and I said, my eyes still, I said, I'm still seeing, it's not real bad, but I still see squiggly lines. And it was kind of major, you know, but it wasn't as bad as when I got the shot. And I said, it's been 6 weeks, well, how long is it going to take? He says, I never told you 6 weeks. 30 months. I was going, I don't believe that, devil. I was going, no, I'm not receiving that. No. And I told several people, I was going, you know, they prayed for me when I had the surgery. And I said, I ain't believing for that. So it's getting a little bit better. But last Saturday, I went to the mailbox and I went, wow, something looks different. And I looked at trees. I closed one eye and I thought, wow, it's pretty straight except for just a very little bit at the very top. It's got a little bit of a bend to it. So it's next month will be 1 year. It didn't take the 30 months like that surgeon prophesied. Because I called him, I called it as I was going, call it as though they are. Amen. Faith. Call those things which be not as though they are. When you pray for somebody that's got cancer or tumors or whatever, and you don't see it instantaneous, the job's done. The job's done. Don't let what you see with your eyes make your heart and your spirit doubt that God isn't on the throne. And this tonight is all about what we're going to talk about in these scriptures is God wants to take you further in the kingdom than ever before. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor here means humble-minded. And the Message Bible says, at the end of your rope. How many have been at the end of your rope sometimes? You know, the word there in, I think it's in Jeremiah, he says, He talks about to give you a hope. And that word there is tikva in Hebrew. And it means, one of the definitions is rope. And I was going, rope? And then I remember that picture of that kitty cat hanging onto that rope. Remember those posters? And the little kitty cat was hanging on with all his might to the end of that rope. When faith, and we pray for people, we use our faith and pray for people and obey God and the Holy Spirit, hold on to that rope. When people that's standing in front of you, they're at their physical end of their rope, you have the hope, the joyful anticipation of a God thing or a God moment. And you hold on to that rope with all that you got. Spirit is the human spirit. It's not a capital. So he's talking about our spirit man on the inside. When people come in here and we can minister salvation to them, their spirits are going to be renewed. Their body may not change, actions, you know, and their mouth and something they're thinking, because it hadn't been renewed yet. But their spirit man is right with God. And when that's taken care of, all the rest is slide on the ice. You know, it's going to happen. You know, thing I told people all the time is going, God, why are you making me do this? You don't make Jim do that, or any of y'all. I said, God, you don't make them do that. Why are you making me? He says, maybe they're not believing for the things you're believing for in your life. Maybe my expectations, my focus is just a little bit higher, you know? And I'm not putting people down if I mention your name, but you understand what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying. Kingdom is a royalty, rule, or realm. Heaven is the abode of God in the air or sky. It said we need to minister to the whole person. Yes, lead them to God, but do you have some other needs in your life? Do you have addictions? Do you need a job? Finances? You know, to the whole person. And I think sometimes we really neglect that because people are scammers. But if we use the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, He'll tell us, you know, whether they're truthful or not. Matthew 5:4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourn here in Hebrew, or in Strong's Hebrew, it says to grieve or bewail, which is great grief. The NLT says oppressed. And it says also oppressors have all the power. Have all the power, the oppressors. Jesus said to John, I will pray the Father and He will give you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, that He may abide with you forever. Things that cause mourning, loss of a loved one or a friend, oppression from without, from our workplace, people we hang out with, oppressing us, brokenheartedness. How many have had brokenhearted? How many had a broken heart from your first girlfriend? What am I on? But I can remember that, and man, I thought, I'm going to die. I want to die. But God says, no, I got a plan for your life. And it's greater than what you see now or can imagine or to think. Separation brings mourning. Holy Spirit, comfort through me. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek here is gentle and humble. Inherit means to be an heir. The earth is soil, ground, planted. What's planted? Including its occupancy. Its occupants. Meek does not mean weak. Holy Spirit, lift up through me. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hunger is famished or to crave. Thirst, early stages of dehydration, or $10 college word here, polydipsia. I saw that in the dictionary. I was going, polydipsia? So I have to look up polydipsia just to see what that means. Severe thirst. I was going, why didn't they just say severe thirst? But I just thought I'd throw that $10 college word in there. We hunger and thirst in our soul realm and our body. David said, my soul thirsts for thee in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Righteousness, equity of character, actions and right standing with God. Also, righteousness comes from two Hebrew words. The first one is zadi, and it means righteous person. Or tzedakah, which is a righteous act. So personally and actions, we can be righteous before God and mankind. Filled means to gorge, feed, or satisfy. Psalm 63, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a land that is a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Matthew 5, 7, Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Merciful is compassion, especially with divine grace. Mercy is compassionate by word or deed. Galatians 6, 7, Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So when you get that person that's standing across from you and they need mercy, show them mercy. Don't condemn them. You know, I've watched some videos about this guy who goes to these gay pride things, and he sets up a little speaker, and he's got his microphone, and he just shows love to those people. A lot of them just curse him and curse him and curse him, and then I watched it one time. They were cursing him, and they were all frustrated to no end, and they just started calming down. The longer he talked, and next thing you know, they're standing there, just meek as a lamb. And he's talking to them, and the Holy Spirit is using those words to get into their heart for what they need. Philippians 4:8 says, if there be any praise, think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, Holy Spirit, praise and think through me. 5:9, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peacemakers means to pacify or to promote peace. Children could be a son or a daughter, the son of God or the son of man. Holy Spirit, work peace through me. Matthew 5:10, Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Pastor Spencer, kingdom of heaven. Persecuted means to pursue, ensue, follow with intent to persecute. Righteousness is equity of character or actions. Kingdom of heaven is realm or rule in the abode of God. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Why should we leave? Why should we ever drift off from the loving arms of a loving God? Does that make sense? But we do that. We do that. Holy Spirit, stand up through me. 5:11, Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Revile here means defame, rail, chide, taunt, or cast in teeth. And I thought, cast in teeth? You know, that's what it means. Grit your teeth. They're just, and I've seen some of that guy, those people would grit their teeth in such anger towards the word of God's being spoken. And I thought, man, to have that kind of hatred in your heart towards another human being, you know? And he hadn't done anything to him. He was just preaching the word of God. Evil is utterance of negativity. Now, I've never thought of a negative word being evil, but it's going against what God said. What does it say? Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17. By whose stripes ye were healed. Not gonna be. Maybe if God's in a good mood, you know. Maybe if you find good favor, healed. My sake on account of the Godhood. Notice that blessed are ye is the reward of enduring the offense. As a reward in being offended, or you know, getting that offense from somebody who doesn't like the word of God. Notice in the Bible when Jesus, and I didn't look up any scripture things for this, but when they said you're not this and you're not that and you're a blasphemer and your family, you were carpenters, you know, he didn't say, yeah I am, no I ain't, you know, defending himself. He gave them the truth. So when somebody starts to revile you or persecute you, just tell them the truth. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Holy Spirit, defend through me. Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. Rejoice is full of cheer, happy, well off. Exceedingly glad is jump for joy or exalt. Reward is pay for services, good or bad. John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Holy Spirit, reward through me. 13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its savor, wherewith will it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot. Salt is a flavor enhancer or a preservative. 20 years ago, I went to a doctor. I cut my hand on some rusty metal, and I thought, man, I better get a tetanus shot because I don't, you know, it's been 20 years since I had a tetanus shot. So I called over there and go to the doc in the box, and they said, when I called, no, there's nobody in here. So I closed the store up, put my phones on hold, and run over about 3 miles, and I look in there, and there's people everywhere. I'm going, oh, man. So I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there waiting, you know, blood pressure going click, 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 click. So I get back in the back, and they said, Mr. Walden, how long have you had high blood pressure? I was going, I didn't know. I didn't know I had high blood pressure. They said, well, we need to put you on medicine. I was going, no. I said, I'm going to do it with diet. I'm going to control it first. So I went on this real strict diet, and I'd had a business card, and everything I ate, I'd look on the package, how many milligrams of sodium it had on it, and I'd write it down. Some days I'd have only 500 milligrams of sodium, and that'll make sense here in just a minute. But the American Heart Association recommends that you have 2,500 milligrams of sodium a day. I thought 500, 2,500, that's not bad. I got a 2,000 deficit that I can carry over to tomorrow. Yeah, and have high blood pressure again. Well, I did. I controlled it for 5 years until I just couldn't. I could eat, and I just like, man, it was creeping up. But the average American intake of sodium a day is 25,000. Now, I would tell people this, and they would say, "Well, I don't use salt." I said, "Have you bought a chicken breast lately? Chicken legs? Look on the underneath side of where the little label is, where it tells how much sodium's in it. 400 milligrams for a chicken breast, and you hadn't even put it in the pan yet. It's in there." So when Jesus says, I want you to be the salt of the earth, I want you to preserve your fellow mankind through your prayers, your supplication, and your prayer, and laying hands on them and being a witness to them. And I want you to flavor them when they still have those old bad habits, you know, like we all had. I want you to flavor them by being salty. Just like an overabundance of salt can cause my blood pressure and heart disease to abound, if we get the word of God within us, it's like I said at the beginning, we're up here and we're just kind of bobbling in the water. When he's saying, when Pastor Spencer gave you that word over the past 4 years, every one of them, his messages, wasn't just so we could say, wow, that was a good one. What are we having for lunch? We need to go put it into practice, what he talks about. Showing the kingdom of God to everybody that's around us. Especially if you go out and eat. You know, that'll make you leave a big tip. You know, and those people, they're having to work on Sunday, and so they need to be paid, you know. And what better witness, you know, to be than a big tip. Anyway. Holy Spirit, flavor and preserve through me. 14, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Light is rays, luminescence, by natural or artificial illumination. John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. While he was here, he lit up the world. Now he has empowered us through his sonship, S-O-N, and his S-U-N-ship. We're now portable lights. I'm a portable light fixture for God. Showing people the way. Here it is. That door. Show them the way. Right down here or back in your seat, wherever it is. Pray for them. Lead them to Christ. Whatever they need. We're portable lights. Jerusalem is set on a hill. The reference here was Jerusalem is setting up on a hill. It can see any marauders that come to it, or it can be a light shining out. How beautiful that city is that's set on a hill. The beautiful thing that God and the Holy Spirit are doing in our lives to make us something beautiful for the kingdom of God. Holy Spirit, shine through me. Matthew 5:15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. A candle is a portable lamp or illuminator. Candles aren't meant to be out in the open to dispel darkness. Do y'all remember March of 93? The snowstorm? Candles were valuable. For about 6.5 days, we didn't have power. You know, and the furnace works on power, refrigerator works on power, everything works on power, stove. And all we had was candles. The importance of candles in a powerless place are of utmost importance. Those people that come through these doors are powerless against the wages of sin. There's going to be people who come in here who've been racked by the wages of sin. But we got the answer. We are the answer, and we are the light, the candle. Holy Spirit, witness through me. Mark Batterson, did I do 16? Yeah, okay. Mark Batterson, in the same book that I mentioned earlier, says, if you don't have any problems, you don't have any potential. Your ability to help others heal is limited to where you've been wounded. Whatever area that you've been wounded in your life, you're now a candidate for the Holy Spirit to use as the track for that person to be healed, that person to be saved, that person to be set free. What you've gone through is now their answer to their question, whatever that question is. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, I've never been healed of cancer. I'm being healed of hearing problems. So, to pray for somebody with cancer, I'd be glad to. But somebody who has been healed, and I talked to a guy about a week ago that was healed from cancer, and I was sharing with him some of the stuff that I was going to talk about. I said, now you're in a place. He says, what do you mean? I said, you're responsible. You can pray for people with cancer. Or you can pray with people who have broken bones or fractures or whatever it is. You can be used by the Spirit of God to minister to those people that are going to come through these doors. And they can be healed, set free, and delivered, and saved through the word of your testimony and by the overcoming that comes through that testimony. And I pray that these won't be just words that just roll off your back, but you'll be a responsible, born-again, Spirit-filled, willing and obedient person to do what God put on our hearts. If we want to see a great revival, You know what? You know what started April 15th of 1906 is when Azusa Street started. You know what happened 3 days later? The 8.0 earthquake in San Francisco destroyed the whole town, houses. People were afraid. They had fear. Is this the last days? Because we're hearing these teachers, these Christians saying it's the end of the world. They thought it was literally the end of the world. And for some people in San Francisco, it was the end of their world. People are going to be coming through these doors, racked by the wages of sin. Think it's the end of the world. I don't have any hope. Why live? I might as well kill myself, or I might, well, overdose, or I might just drink myself under the table. But we got hope, joyful anticipation of a God thing in our lives, and we need to share it with people. Amen?
Thank you, Brother Tim.
Sorry for going over.
Amen. I hope that tonight your faith was stirred. I know mine was as I heard him talking, and that's the cool thing about faith is that we get to share it with one another. So that's why Paul, he wrote to one of his spiritual sons, he said, I want to talk to you about our common salvation, our common faith, is that as Tim shares that, hopefully your faith is being built up. And as he was sharing, it made me think about a phrase that I've heard, be the revival that you want to see. And I think that's really what he's trying to say is like, look, don't just look for someone else to do it. If God has done something in your life, it's like the guy that Jesus, and if he went over this, I'm sorry, Bishop was being a pill. I stepped out for a little bit, and I'm not going to try to re-preach anything. But the guy that Jesus told the parable about, that the master forgave him, and then he went out and he wouldn't forgive somebody else. It could be as simple as that. What God has done for you, go do for somebody else. And you think, well, God's never healed me of this. God's never paid off this big debt. Has God forgiven you? Then go forgive. Has God loved you? Go love. Has God been kind to you? Have you experienced his goodness? Yeah, then go do that for somebody else. Amen. Stand to your feet with me tonight. Thank you, Brother Tim, for sharing your heart. And thank you, every single one of you, for being here, fellowshipping with us through supper at the well, worshiping with us, hearing the word. And as he said, and I just want to reiterate, be doers of the word. Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim. Appreciate you. Father, we thank you tonight that your word has gone forth in this place. I pray that it would fall not upon deaf ears, but upon open hearts, God, that it would be good soil, that your seed of faith, that it would be planted in our hearts and it would produce a harvest. God, may we be that city that's set upon a hill and be that beacon of hope, that light that people come to and see and know that you are good and you can save, you can heal, you can deliver. God, we believe that you can and you will. We honor you tonight in Jesus' name. And may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, and may he smile all over you, and may you be blessed in all that you do in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Love you guys so much. Encourage somebody on your way out of here tonight. Love you so much.